Welcome to the Retention Nation podcast, the show for e-commerce brands looking to turn one-time and sometime buyers into lifetime and forever customers. Hosted by Isaac Hyman, an ex-VP of retention and featured speaker, author, masterclass creator, and founder of High Flyer Digital, each episode features successful brands, apps, and experts who are sharing cutting-edge, innovative, and proven email SMS retention insights that help them grow their business to the next level profitably. Our mission is to give you the retention strategies you need to unlock profitable, predictable, and scalable revenue from every customer on your list. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Retention Nation podcast. I'm your host, Isaac Hyman. Super excited to be talking to you all about the art of customer retention and how e-commerce brands can turn those one-and-done buyers, those sometime buyers, into lifetime buyers using the retention strategies we're outlining in this podcast and help your brand create profitable, predictable, and sustainable revenue streams for your business. This episode is going to be a continuation of the past episode we did last time, which was talking all about the seven reasons why customers will abandon you. Okay, on this episode, we're going to be diving into, okay, now that we know why customers are leaving us, why three out of four buyers are leaving e-commerce brands, this episode will focus on what do we do about it? And then how do we implement? On the last episode, if you recall, it's all about market research, data-driven reasons for why customers are leaving you, all backed by Ernst & Young, Harvard Business Review, McKinsey, Statista, Bluecore, Shopify, you name it, all industry research that shows why customers are leaving brands. Why are they going, right? And we'll recap that a little bit now. But we always like to start with the why. Whenever you're trying to solve a problem, you got to start with the why. Great example, as I said in the last podcast, was, you know, people tend to think of cart abandon as like, yeah, we should send an email to recoup all those cart abandons. But maybe we should ask why people are abandoning in the first place. So I found that's always more successful, and you really solve problems better when you ask the why. So let's jump right in. For those watching on video, you can see my screen. If you're listening on audio, I'll walk you through the slides we have right now. So just to recap, let's take a quick glance at what were the seven reasons that customers were leaving you in the first place. So from the last podcast episode, we dove into seven data-driven market research reasons. Number one, Amazon is a huge yet faceless marketplace, right? It is a huge marketplace where people go to first, and that's the first place they shop. The opportunity, though, as you'll see soon, is that it is a faceless marketplace. There's no personality behind it. There's no way to reach anyone. It's really, you're buying, you're going in there to buy a product, and that's it. There's no real relationship. That's number one. It's just huge, though. Number two, Amazon owns search and product personalization, right? They are the first places where people start searching for products. In fact, they're even starting to beat Google as a e-commerce search engine in some ways. And when you think about it, there's also new marketplaces like Temu and Shein rising up as well. Number three, Amazon perfected convenience for customers. They have definitely been the leader when it comes to convenience, right? Their click-to-collect speed is double the speed of a lot of other e-commerce brands. You just can't compete with that speed, and customers are loyal to convenience. Number four, Amazon's conglomerate of value is unbeatable. Prime membership, it's just stacked, right? A lot of brands can't compete with that stacked value that Amazon has. So that's why customers leave for that value, right? That prime value, the two-day shipping, one-day shipping, two-hour shipping. Reason number five, nothing to do with Amazon now, nothing to do with big marketplaces. Reason number five, TikTok apps and Meta have become the middlemen between the customer and you. When there's a middleman introduced into the journey, into the customer's experience with your website, they become more loyal to the app, to the platform. Great example, as I said before, all those restaurants who started using DoorDash back when COVID hit, now customers are reliant on DoorDash. They have a relationship with DoorDash. They just don't have a relationship with your brand anymore. They're at DoorDash's beck and call, right? So that's why they become less loyal to you and more loyal to the app. And it plays the same role as e-commerce, right? You have a lot of apps that do the same thing. Reason number six, digitally native brands steal digital savvy customers. Customers are coming in, they grew up with the internet, they're becoming more digitally savvy, and they are wanting and desiring more digital savvy brands. And if your brand is, you know, digitally a dinosaur, if you will, or not keeping up with the pace of technology, you're going to be left behind. Customers will leave you. And the seventh reason was that VC-backed brands, venture capital-backed brands, and creator brands have unlimited acquisition funds. They have a war chest of funds with one goal: to steal your customers. So those are the top seven reasons customers will leave your brand this year. And that's hard to compete against, right? You may not find that all these reasons are competing with you or stealing your customers away. There may be one or two, but these are overall why customers leave. And if you maybe sell on Amazon, you're not concerned with Amazon as much, but there are other reasons to be concerned, okay? That's why customers leave. Amazon is great for selling products, but it is a huge, like I said, faceless marketplace. It's a walled garden, not enough data coming in. You are competing with everyone else, and Amazon's building up private label brands. So there's a lot of competition that is, you know, forcing you to think about how to keep customers loyal to you, even if you're selling Amazon. And on the flip side, if you also don't sell on Amazon, well, there's other three reasons here that are keeping customers from returning to you. So now that we know the seven reasons customers leave, let's dive into how we can, you know, prevent that. How we can prevent every single reason. And again, you may not want to tackle every single reason. It may not be relevant to you. But even if there's one or two that really are like, yeah, I'm seeing that more and more, well, let's combat it right now. So number one, if you can't win the game, we got to change the game. Okay, I'm not saying you can create a Prime membership type of value like Amazon. I'm not saying you can enhance your delivery speed like Amazon. I'm not saying you have to create some sort of massive war chest and go to a venture capitalist or Silicon Valley to get a partner who can actually fund your war chest. I'm saying we need to change the game. You don't just have to play their game. You got to change the game. Let's talk about how to defeat those seven reasons. So what we want to tackle is a little bit, put a little chink in the armor where we can, you know, say, this is what we're going to tackle first, right? So Amazon is a huge faceless marketplace. So what are we going to do? We're going to have a face. We have a personality behind our brand. If Amazon owns search and product personalization, well, we can own another form of personalization, like customer personalization. If Amazon is focused on convenience for customers, we also have to be convenient in some way, right? If Amazon has a conglomerate of value, maybe we have a community of value. TikTok apps and Meta are the middlemen. Maybe we start saying, hey, how do we outsource the middleman, get rid of it, and go direct to the customer? Number six, digitally native brands. If they're stealing digitally savvy customers, well, that's an easy change. We become a little more digital savvy, right, and embrace that. And finally, if brands, VC-backed and creator brands, have unlimited acquisition funds, we should focus on unlimited maybe retention funds. So we're going to kind of take one word out of every single one of these reasons and tackle that, because that's the biggest challenge. So that's how you defeat the seven reasons. So let's recap that a little bit more, right? So you can position your brand to compete by your brand has a story facing uniqueness to share that combats Amazon's faceless marketplace. If Amazon excels in product personalization, you excel in customer personalization. That will defeat reason number two, why customers leave. Reason number three, if Amazon perfected the convenience and experience, you can perfect, your brand can perfect the multi-channel experience. How is the experience across your email, SMS, Facebook, Google? That's how you can perfect it a little bit more and even better than Amazon in some cases, because you have a better, closer relationship to your customer. If Amazon has a conglomerate of value, reason number four, then you create a community of value, right? You can have a whole bunch of community. People within your list are part of a tribe now. So you've got to create that community. So that's something Amazon doesn't have. They have a whole bunch of people there that don't feel tied into the Amazon, you know, community, right? There's no community for Amazon. Each little brand has an opportunity to build that community, and no one ever leaves a community, right? Reason number five, if apps and Meta and TikTok are all introducing a third-party middleman, you need to excel. The way you compete with that, you excel with a direct one-to-one line of customer communication. Reason number six, if brands are digitally savvy, you can actually be more customer-centric and data-driven as well, just like them. It just requires a mindset shift. And finally, reason number seven for why customers leave, if the VC-backed and creator brands have massive war chests, you can reinvest in a war chest for retention, right? To keep customers in the fold and prevent them from leaving anywhere else. So that's how you combat these seven reasons why customers leave. And if you match it up, you'll see very clearly, there's seven reasons customers abandon you. Now there's seven ways customers will stay with you. You have a story, a face. You're focused on customer personalization. You excel in multi-channel experiences. You have a community of value, a direct one-to-one line of customer communication using any channels at your fingertips. You're customer-centric at all times, not product-centric. And talking all about the products, Amazon's got the products, right? Amazon's got everything. You're customer-centric. And finally, you're not focused as much on acquisition, which is important. I'm not saying don't do it, but you focus a lot of your investments on retention and loyalty. Okay, so that's how you beat those seven reasons customers abandon you. Now that we know how to combat those seven reasons, it's great to have that mindset and say, like, yes, I need to focus on retention, or I need to focus on customer centrism, or I need to focus on building a community of value. So now what do? How do we implement it? That's all good and well, right? I'd love to build a community of value. How do I do it? So now we're going to talk about the ways to implement it, right? We talked about the why before. Why are customers leaving you? Then we just talked about the what. What do you do to prevent it? And now we're going to talk about the how. How do we implement it? So let's dive into four ways. We've identified about four ways to implement it. But really, before we dive into those four channels and four tactics you could do to implement this type of strategy, this customer loyalty strategy, we really got to say to ourselves, well, I need to make sure whenever I'm implementing this strategy, it's not going to kill my brand. It's not going to make me go broke. It's not going to destroy my current customer base, right? So you need to create this kind of litmus test and KPIs that say, how do I know if it's working? How do I know that I'm not, you know, just kicking the can down the road? How do I know if that I'm keeping customers loyal? What's my litmus test here that says I'm going to be successful at this? So the questions I've zeroed in on that are the top five questions you ask when you're implementing a new strategy, especially for customer loyalty. And again, I'm using this based on my experience as a VP of retention at the top brands. I've actually asked these questions. I've had these questions asked of me. How am I making sure I'm sticking to my budget, but keeping customers loyal within my budget, within my technology, within my capabilities, right? So you need to ask these questions of your own brand. So first question to ask, will this strategy actually keep customers loyal to me, right? I want to make sure that if we implement any of these tactics, our customer loyalty strategy, it will actually work. Really highest priority, number one. And it's got to be loyal to you, not to your Shopify website, or not loyal to your Facebook page, or not loyal to your Instagram page. How do I keep them loyal to me as a brand? Number two, what do I do if Amazon and digitally native brands level up further, right? How do I keep competitive? How do I stay competitive with their technology advancements? Number three, do I have to give up valuable customer data in order to make this strategy work? It's a good question. Do we have to? Let's find out. Number four, do I need to spend millions I don't have to make this happen? These are the questions you're asking. You know, great, I'd love to do loyalty, but do I have to spend millions and millions and millions to make it happen? Okay, you know, let's find out. And number five, do I need to give up my profits or discount heavily? One of the killers of brands is when you discount to the bottom, right? So you don't want to kind of focus on loyalty by shaving off all your profits and just existing. Can't do that. So the reason this strategy needs to work, this strategy needs to check every box on this list, right? So the plan, the retention strategy, the customer loyalty strategy we're going to implement, it must keep customers loyal to your business. That's number one. Number two, it must keep your business competitive and nimble, constantly adjusting and adapting the technologies out there. Number three, it must not sacrifice your data, destiny, or your business. You can't give up all your data. You can't give up all your path of your business, right? Your five-year plan, your 10-year plan, for the sake of customer loyalty right now. It's not going to work. Number four, the plan must invest your dollars wisely, working smarter, not harder, right? You only have limited resources. You can't just create a great example of that. You can't just create an app that costs millions of dollars for customer loyalty. It's just not, you're going to go bankrupt, right? So your dollars must be invested wisely. And finally, the plan must be ROI positive and profitable. Any loyalty strategy we have should make you profits. It shouldn't sacrifice profits. So discounting is a hard pass on that. So those are the KPIs of our customer loyalty plan. Keep customers loyal. That's how it has to be. Has to keep you competitive and nimble, not sacrifice your data, invest dollars wisely, and must be ROI positive. Okay, that's how we know if our customer loyalty plan will work. So now that we know what we're checking for and how we're going to measure our success, let's find out which tactics we can do to start implementing this. So to implement it, to keep customers loyal, we've zeroed in about four channels that we can say, like, you know what, maybe we start investing in this channel to make it happen. How to be keep customers loyal to us. We zeroed in on paid search, right? Maybe run Google ads, YouTube ads, paid social, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Amazon. Maybe you join Amazon and that's how you keep customers loyal. And finally, email and SMS, email channel, email marketing, SMS marketing. One of these channels, it's good to have a mix of everything you do, of course, at all times, but one of these channels will probably help us the most to keep customers loyal to our brand. And we want to roll out this strategy in the best way possible. We want to focus all our resources on the best option for keeping customers loyal, because that's 80-20 rule, right? 20% of your effort will yield 80% of your results. So let's focus on the one that's going to drive that needle of customer loyalty. Again, I'm talking about customer loyalty and retention, not talking about acquisition, talking about loyalty now. So let's dive into each channel and see if it's the best fit for keeping customers loyal. Okay, so let's start with social media. Maybe in our effort to implement our customer loyalty strategy, which is those seven ways to keep customers loyal to us, maybe we invest in social media. Maybe that's the best option. So let's run down the checkbox, right? Does it defeat the seven reasons, right? My investing in paid or organic social, does it defeat the seven reasons customers leave? And if you're looking at these reasons and saying, you know what, I've zeroed in on one reason for why my customers leave, maybe not two or three or seven, then look at that checkbox and say, did it solve that one problem, right? And you want to look at every reason in your own, you know, at your own level and see exactly if you've combated that reason. So reason number one, yes, social media does allow you to have a story facing uniqueness to share. You can share your entire story on social media. That's what it's there for. So that defeats that reason of a faceless marketplace, right? You can develop your own face, your own brand personality on your social media platforms and combat what Amazon does to you, right? Number two, it does not excel though in customer personalization, right? It's a social media platform. It's homogenous for almost every brand and user out there. So you're not going to have this high level of personalization in anything you do on social media. And really everyone could do it, right? So that doesn't defeat it. That doesn't prevent customers from coming to you only. Number three, it does allow your brand to provide multi-channel experiences, right? Think of it this way. You have an experience for your customers on your website, your email list, SMS, and social media. You have multiple channels. And you have your TikTok channel doing this, all your videos. And you have your Facebook channel talking about content. And you have Instagram showing great visuals of your behind the scenes, for example. So that's multi-channel experiences that customers can start getting involved in. And the more involved in your social media platforms, the potentially the more loyal they could be, right? So that's a really great option. Really like that option. And it beats the Amazon option, right? There's nothing from Amazon that they're loyal to that would keep them from going to your brand. Number four. Yes, you can build a community of value as well. Remember, we're trying to defeat Amazon's conglomerate value of the Amazon Prime. And using your social media platforms, you can actually build a community of value too and have people absorb the community, chime in, leave reviews, talk about their experiences. Perfect. Here's where it gets rocky though again. No, your brand is not able to develop customer line of communication on a one-to-one level. Okay, you don't have that one-to-one communication with every customer at scale on a one-to-one level that you would have with other channels, right? So you can't beat Amazon on that. You can't beat TikTok, apps, and Meta. You're also using TikTok, apps, and Meta. They are the middleman in this situation, right? So you're just investing more in the middleman. That's a problem. And no, your brand does not promote customer centrism and is not data-driven, right? You're in the same platform as everyone else. So that customer-centric mentality is just not there. You're doing whatever Instagram allows you to do. You're doing whatever Facebook allows you to do. So you don't have that customer centrism that you need to combat the seven reasons customers leave you. And finally, the seventh reason is, right, remember these war chests of the top brands have these massive war chests for acquisition, but you're not focusing on retention either, right? And you're just doing the same thing they're doing. So you aren't investing as much in retention. And that's why their customers will still leave you. You're going to be outspent on Amazon, I'm sorry, on Facebook, on Meta, and TikTok. So for that reason, you haven't fully combated the seven reasons. Customers will still be leaving you, right, if you invest in social media. But maybe it checks every box on our litmus test, right? Maybe the plan, you know, allows you to say, you know what, it's still worth investing because it'll still help my brand, right? Here's where it gets rocky, though. It doesn't seem to work out. It does not keep customers, right? Remember, let's go to our KPIs checklist, right? Does it pass that litmus test? Does it keep customers loyal to your business? No, because anyone could be there. Any brand could be there. They could do the same thing you're doing. They probably have more resources to do more too. Number two, does it keep your business competitive and nimble? Nope, because it, again, same platform for everyone. Facebook, Meta, TikTok, all of them could decide what you are going to do and what you can or can't do. Number three, does it sacrifice your data, destiny, or business? Yep. You're giving your data over to Facebook. You're giving your data over to TikTok. Even now, TikTok may get banned from what they're saying. So you're really banking on a platforms that may or may not be there and may or may not be useful to you for customer loyalty. But on the flip side, there's two opportunities within social media. It says it does invest your dollars wisely. Facebook and Meta ads are really powerful and you can really get a lot of customers keeping coming back to you as long as you have the budget for it. And it does help you be ROI positive. You can run ads that help you develop a more profitable, you know, retention strategy. You have some opportunities there, but it doesn't pass every single checkbox. For that reason, we give it a loyalty grade of C-, because you have the same tactics as everyone else. Every brand could be there. They're going to be there better than you. You can easily be outspent by competitors. And you're also giving up most of your data to Meta and TikTok. You keep investing into the middleman that you were trying to prevent customers from going to in the first place. So that's a problem right there. Let's talk about another option for customer loyalty, right? We know social media, investing in social media is important, but it will not keep customers loyal at the level you want it to be, right? A C- is not where you want to be with customer loyalty. You want to have an A, right? You want to have B+ or an A, something that says you're going in the right direction. So let's look at option number two. Maybe we invest in paid search. Maybe that's exactly where we want to go, right? Maybe paid search is where we go. Google ads, YouTube ads. So let's dive into the reasons here. Okay, so investing in paid search, does it, you know, defeat the seven reasons? So reason number one, again, brand story. Yeah, you can share your brand story. Google has a great opportunity. You have blogs found on Google. You can ask questions. You can have a great content, you know, blogs, YouTube channel can tell all about your story. It's a great option. So I give that one a check. Once again, though, it doesn't excel in customer personalization, because you're only allowed to do what Google wants you to do. Okay, that's the problem. Number three, you can have multi-channel experiences, right? Again, you're trying to combat the Amazon's omni-channel experience, right? Now you have multi-channel experiences. You can use Gmail, YouTube, display ads, Maps, Google Business, Google My Business. All those options are available in multiple channels. Really great option right there. So you can actually have a great multi-channel experience for your customers, and hopefully that will keep customers loyal to you. Number four, right? Remember, we're trying to create a community of value. Your brand actually has a lot of community members. You can have a Gmail list. You can have a groups. You can be found by more people searching for communities on Google, saying like, hey, find me a community of photo video lovers, right? Or looking for a camera and learn from a community. You could do a lot there, right? So Google does provide you with that opportunity to be found and then enhance your customer loyalty that way. So that definitely checks that box. Again, here's where it gets dicey. Same as on, you know, social, same as investing in social for customer loyalty. When you invest in search, paid search for customer loyalty, you will not have a direct line of customer communication, no direct one-to-one line. You could do this. You're doing the same thing every other brand is doing. You're not promoting customer centrism. You're not data-driven because you're really deferring to everything Google tells you you can do. No more, no less. And finally, you're not focusing your investments on retention and loyalty. You're focusing more on acquisition. Paid search is more for acquisition, acquiring new customers. If you're investing more dollars in there, you may actually, you know, reduce your customer loyalty and reduce your profits because you have customers coming back to you and maybe you offered a deal and now they're coming back, you know, at a discount again, right? That's not going to help you. It's a race to the bottom at that point. So, for that perspective, very similar to social, investing in social for customer loyalty, investing in paid search for customer loyalty probably is not going to get you what you want to have, objective, just keeping customers loyal. But once again, maybe it is a good investment because it passes the litmus test. It says, you know what, there's some checkboxes here that I'm okay with, right? I'm okay with not being 100%, but maybe it's still a good investment. So does Google search, investing in paid search, keep customers loyal to your business? No. Nope, it does not do that because it keeps the customers loyal to Google and searching online. Does it keep your business competitive and nimble? Not really, because every other brand could do the same thing you're doing. Does the plan sacrifice data destiny or business? Yep. It gives the data over to Google, and Google will tell you how to run ads and spend more with them. Does not tell you how to, you know, keep customers loyal to your brand. Number four, though, it does invest your dollars wisely, because you can get customers from Google search. But again, this is an acquisition. This is customer loyalty. So, you know, doesn't really gel as much. And it does help you be ROI positive and profitable. So if you're looking to keep customers coming back for more, it can get a lot more ROI positive and keep your profits in the fold. So those two, it helps. But three out of five, that's a hard pass. It does not keep, does not pass the litmus test right there. For that reason, once again, it gets a C+ in terms of customer loyalty, because again, you're doing the same tactics as everyone else. Anyone can outspend you there. Google, if you're trying to use Google for paid for customer loyalty, any brand can do the same thing. You can easily be outspent by competitors. And the one positive, though, is it's more trackable than TikTok and Meta these days, right? But you're still giving up all your data to make it happen. So from a customer loyal point of view, investing in paid search does not seem to be the best investment you could possibly make right now. Now let's dive into customer loyalty option number three, which is maybe if you can't beat them, join them. Maybe your brand should start selling on Amazon to improve the customer loyalty of your customers. Could be a good option. I've seen a lot of brands. We work with a lot of brands that sell on Amazon and sell direct to consumer. Are customers more loyal that way? Not sure, right? So let's dive into that option and see if it works. So does it defeat the seven reasons for why customers leave? By selling on Amazon, will I defeat the seven reasons they leave? Well, number one, no, you wouldn't be able to tell your brand story. You would not be able to tell your brand story as much, because Amazon allows you only certain space to tell your story. You can have a nice little landing page, and they're trying to get more and more going for you, but it's not enough, right? It's just not enough. You need to have your own story, your own, you know, embodiment of your, you know, brand to share with customers. So you can't just rely on selling on Amazon to tell your story. It's just not going to happen, right? And on top of that, other people can do the same exact thing as you're doing, probably better. But reason number two, your brand will benefit from product personalization. So you definitely benefit from Amazon scale and personalization elements. Number three, though, your brand does not prioritize multi-channel experiences. You're only in Amazon's ecosystem. When Amazon says, goes, and that's how you have to play by the rules, right? Reason number four, you can tap into Amazon's Prime value. So you can piggyback on their Prime value and membership for your brand. So that's pretty good, right? You could tap into that. So that will probably keep customers loyal to you. But this is, again, where it gets dicey. You do not have a direct line of one-to-one customer communication, right? So any brand, you're introducing Amazon as the middleman, right? Investing more in Amazon, being that middle guy, the customers will start going to Amazon more and more and more. Amazon decides to promote their private label brands or start promoting other competition because they're spending more, you're done. You're done. In fact, in reality, you're spending more on Amazon to run ads then at that point, right? Wall Street Journal actually ran an article that says Amazon scooped up data from its own sellers to launch competing products. That's a problem, you know, right? 43% said competition has been increasing more and more. It's about the same, but 55% it's become more competitive to sell on Amazon because there's more competition. So you're going to find that that direct line with customer communication, it just doesn't exist, right? And your brand is not customer-centric. It's not data-driven. Amazon's a walled garden, not going to give you the data you need. And you're going to find that your investments are not even retention-focused or loyalty-focused. There's nothing to invest in retention there. It's all acquisition. How do I spend more to get it in front of more customers? Sponsored posts, sponsored listings, sponsored ads, sponsored products, buy box, you name it. How do I get there? And the reason that's a problem, right? You're focusing more of your investments in acquisition, and retention is falling behind. So selling on Amazon is great for selling product. It is not so great at all for customer loyalty. But again, let's go to the checklist. Maybe it's still worth the investment. So does investing in Amazon and selling Amazon keep customers loyal to my business? No way. They're loyal to Amazon, right? They're loyal to Amazon. Whatever product is put in front of your customers first is what they're going to buy, right? So they're not loyal to you. It does help you be a little more competitive and nimble, though, right? Because you are tapping into Amazon's innovations, Amazon's e-commerce innovations specifically. So it will help you be more competitive and nimble if you piggyback on that. However, it does sacrifice your data destiny, all the data you should be having from your customers is now going to Amazon. It does not invest your dollars wisely, working smarter, because again, you're selling on Amazon. Amazon is actually going to have you run more ads to get more customers. And that's okay from an acquisition point of view, but not from a customer loyalty point of view. But Amazon can help you be ROI positive and profitable. So that's a good sign. You know, you run ads, acquire more customers, you'll be more profitable. But we're talking about loyalty here, customer retention. If customers buy from you once, there's nothing that's stopping them from buying a product from another competitor, from another brand out there on Amazon, and stop buying from you. Okay. So it does not pass every checkbox on our customer loyalty plan. For that, we give it a B minus, right? It's got the scale, right? You can't beat them. At least you can join them. That's not bad. That's a step in the right direction, I guess. But you're giving into Amazon behemoth. You're giving into Amazon scale and tapping into their network, their shopping, their customers, which is great for scale. But Amazon will steer your business from there on, right? You won't have the data for customer loyalty. You won't have the data to keep customers for a long time. Their trajectory is gone. The journey is gone. And you are at Amazon's beck and call. So from a loyalty perspective, selling on Amazon will not help you combat the churn that you should expect. Let's dive into the last option right here. Customer loyalty option number 4, email and SMS strategy, right? How do we combat customer loyalty? Using email and SMS. Maybe that's the best option we can find to keep customers loyal to our business. So let's dive into that option here. So if I invest in email and SMS, will I be able to tell my brand story at will? Yes. You have a welcome series. You can tell everything about your brand instantly and share everything you need to know, right? That's the whole point of email and SMS. You tell your story. Does it excel in customer personalization? Yes, it actually does. AI and machine learning are helping you provide more products that are, you know, dynamic and recommended to each person on the one-to-one level. It's a really great way to kind of get more personal with the customer. You could share points, loyalty data, financing data, all customer personalization elements you don't have on Google search or don't have on Facebook or don't have on Amazon. You craft multi-channel and omni-channel experiences. You have email, you have SMS, you have push, you have customer service, you have loyalty, you have financing. So all these little channels, in-store, brick and mortar, online, you have all these mini channels that actually will provide a better experience for your customer. Great example, SMS transactional, great experience for customers who want to know where their order is, right? You can't do that on Amazon. Maybe you can, but it's Amazon's message, not yours. So that's, you know, keeps customers loyal, keeps customers feeling that they're connected to you. You can also build a segmented list community of value. Remember, we're combating the conglomerate of value that Amazon has, and you can easily create a community of value, different segments, different cohorts, different communities within your email list that you can actually start cultivating. Different newsletters, right? Number 5, your brand does own one-to-one direct customer communication. That's what the whole channel is about. Email and SMS is direct one-to-one customer communication on the most intimate form of communication they want to hear, right? Their phone and their email. Your brand is fully customer-centric and data-driven. You're constantly putting the customer at the center of everything you do. Remember the email, as we'll see later, email is a unique customer identifier. You can use that to power almost anything out there. Your different apps, different sign-ins, different logins, different credentials, different accounts on your website using just the email or phone number. And yes, you actually are investing finally in a retention and loyalty channel, right? No more acquisition on Facebook or Google search or even Amazon to try and acquire more customers. Email SMS is dedicated to retention and loyalty. So it looks like, based on our glance, based on this checklist, email and SMS is the best channel to invest for customer loyalty. If you don't want your customers to leave, you should start investing in the email and SMS channel. Based on what we're seeing here, it combats all the 7 reasons customers leave and excels in the 7 ways to keep customers coming back. But let's go to the checklist. Let's do the litmus checklist to see, even though it sounds great, sounds like a good investment, maybe it will not help us be profitable or keep our data. So does email and SMS keep our customers loyal to my business? Yes, it keeps customers loyal. That's exactly what you wanted to achieve. You keep customers coming back, sharing newsletters, sharing stories, sharing offers, sharing items that they think they'll love, picks for them, content, community alerts. Everything is about keeping customers loyal to you and reminding them why you're here. Number 2, does it keep the business competitive and nimble? Of course, because now you have new technologies that allow you to become more customer-centric, more personalized to the customer. More apps are popping up that allow you to add in more machine learning recommendations, more better experiences within the email, mobile devices, desktop devices, right? New designs, things like that. So it keeps your business competitive and nimble at all times. And frankly, email and SMS is consistently growing in usage. Number three, does the plan sacrifice data destined to your business? No, you actually keep your data. You own it. It's on your list. You're not renting profiles or platforms or pages from social media. You're not renting ad space from Google. You're owning your list. So it actually is that one channel that owns the data for you, and you can do whatever you want with it. Number four, does this plan invest dollars wisely, working smarter, not harder? As you'll see, email has a huge ROI, $38 ROI for every $1 spent. That's the average ROI. So you can see it provides a much better use of your dollars when you're investing it. And number five, does the plan help you become ROI positive and profitable? As I mentioned, $38 ROI for every $1 spent. The ROI is there. It's more profitable. You don't necessarily need to discount to the bottom. You just need to keep communicating with your customers on a one-to-one level and tap into the person behind the inbox, behind the phone number. So it actually does pass every single checkbox on our litmus test right here. So email and SMS excels in the seven ways customers stay loyal to your brand. They combat the seven reasons customers leave you, and it passes the litmus test and says, everything here will help my business grow to the next level. For that reason, we give you the loyalty grade of A+, right? You can connect with customers directly. You're building relationships that unlock high lifetime value. There's no ad spend, but there's yet better relationships with your list, and that equals more profits. So really huge win. Email and SMS seems to be the best channel for investing in customer loyalty and preventing 3 out of 4 buyers from leaving your business this year and really every year. So let's dive into this a little bit deeper, right? How does email and SMS actually excel in loyalty specifically, you know, reason by reason, right? So let's dive into it. So solution number one, we talked about brand story and how Amazon's got this faceless marketplace, and really Shein and Temu have this faceless marketplace, right? So we will combat that by telling our brand story. Email SMS excels in that because it allows more storytelling real estate. You have the welcome email, so you can go out all the time. You could tell everything about your brand, different videos, different content. You post a new video or something on social, right? You can share that with your email list, and subscribers opted in to hear it, right? It's not just that they're opting in to have a deal. Maybe some are, but they opt in to hear your story and get involved with your brand. And you could personalize that story to every customer on your list. Even better, it's a free channel with no ad spent, and it converts at a higher level, and it can be automated 24/7. That's why email and SMS is great at storytelling. It runs when the customer wants to hear them. So the customer signs up at midnight, you could tell the story from midnight on. If the customer opted in at 9 a.m., you could tell your story from there on. The customer came to your site, didn't look at anything, you could tell a different story there, right? And the result is you create a brand that's personal and relevant to customers, and that beats Amazon's faceless experience. So it excels in storytelling and tells it on your terms. Solution number two, as we discussed before, Amazon owns product personalization, product and search, right? We're going to excel in customer personalization, and email and SMS excels in that. 84% of customers demand personalization, yet only 15% of brands actually achieve it. But you can achieve it with email and SMS. You can't have that personalization on Google, right? You can show products, but there's more to personalization than just showing products, right? There's more to personalization than showing what's in their cart on a Facebook ad. You could do that with email and save some shekel, right? You connect with a person behind the email, behind the inbox, based on what they're telling you, with their clicks, with their opens, with their location, you name it, and allows you to send fewer yet better communications. So that's great personalization, right? You want to talk to that customer on a one-to-one level, not bombard them, not distract them with other stuff. And you can actually excel in customer personalization, and it's scalable for retention, customer loyalty, and ironically, it's also great for acquisition, because you could send that list of high-value customers over to Google and Facebook and have them create lookalike audiences and customer match audiences off of it, which is fantastic. And if you thought that was just enough, that customer personalization within emails was enough, AI and machine learning will take it to the next level. Now, AI is still growing in people's minds. They want to see what else it can do. It is going to grow. Dynamic creatives, kinetic emails, open time content, recommended products in email and website, you name it. There's a lot of potential coming down the road for customer personalization, and it works best, pretty much only works best in email and SMS. So as a result, you can achieve cutting edge dynamic personalization with every customer on your list, matching and beating Amazon's product personalization. Huge win right there. Solution number three, email and SMS is a unique customer identifier. Remember we talked about before, you need to be able to identify the customer across the board. When you have a multi-channel experience and you're trying to tap into a customer and kind of say like, okay, here's what our store is doing for that customer. Here's the web doing for our customer. Here's what mobile is doing for our customer, social media. The best approach would be to have everything you do surround the customer. And how do you surround the customer? By using the one unique data point that they're sharing with you, which is their email and phone number. It unifies your online and offline data. If you ever worked with a CDP or a customer data platform or even a high-level CRM, you'll know that the unique identifier across the web is the email or the phone number, right? It identifies you everywhere. So if you revolve every channel around email, your data will just, your marketing will just be better, right? And 73% of shoppers use multiple channels. And usually if you excel in personalization and actually communicate with the customer on a one-to-one level, you can actually see a 10 to 15% uplift in profits and 10 to 30% cost savings across the board. So using that email as a unique customer identifier, you can activate more than just sending emails and text. Using customer data, you can create personalized journeys across multiple channels, right? And that's what we want to combat. Amazon has an omni-channel experience. We're going to create the same thing using email because it identifies that customer across the web. Even for Amazon, what do you sign in? You sign in with your email, right? That's how you do it. So email is that unique identifier, and that's why it excels in customer loyalty, because you have better marketing around every customer across every channel, personalized to them. Solution number four, remember we're combating Amazon's conglomerate of value. You could build a community of value right here. You could build different segments and communities within your email and SMS list, right? You have different, we have a segment for VIP customers, segment for people who signed up for this newsletter, people who signed up for that newsletter, people who signed up for card abandoned emails, for back in stock notifications, people who are on your loyalty program, people who are in-store shoppers or only e-commerce shoppers. You create different segments and communities within your email and SMS list, and journeys and flows can be built on those communities to excel in that personalization, right? So it reinforces all the other solutions before. In fact, 82% of brands say email is effective for content, and it provides more visual real estate at the end of the day for your content, right? And when you have that better one-to-one messaging within email and SMS, that means better customer communication, better customer connections to your brand for your content, right? For your segments, for your communities that you're building. So really, email and SMS, unlike Facebook, you can't build a community on Facebook. You can build a Facebook group, which is a step in the right direction, but you don't have any data after that. You just got to be on Facebook all the time. But within email and SMS, you can build different communities that allow you to create different experiences for every single type of community on your list. I've seen it dozens of times. You have, case in point, I've worked with a lot of brands that have, in consumer electronics, you have the Sony community who loves Sony photography. You have the Canon community who love Canon photography. You have the wildlife shooters. You have the lifestyle shooters. You have the wedding photographers. Each one has different communities, and you can start marketing to that community much better than anywhere else. Can't do that on Amazon. Can't do that on Facebook. Can't do that on Google. So email and SMS allows you to build a better community. Solution number five, email and SMS allows ownership of customer data. As we talked about before, how are you combating the middleman problem? Introducing an app or middleman into your brand, you got to start by owning the data. So usually in the past, right, you're siloed. All your data is siloed with big tech. You have some data on Facebook, you have some data on Google, some data on Amazon, some data on your email list. Now the future is that you own the data yourself. It's all owned by you. And how do you own that data? As I told you before, unique customer identifier is email and SMS. What do you use to log into your Starbucks app? What do you use at checkout when you go to Walgreens? They ask you to plug in your email or your phone number. That's how you identify it, right? And now you own it. And on the flip side, you can actually then own the data and send out whatever you want to send out, right? Small pieces of that data to Facebook. Send a small piece of data to Shopify, small piece of data to Google, small piece of data to Amazon. but you own the whole, the gist of it. You own the majority of it. And it reduces your reliance on apps and tech to power your data and destiny. And you can actually enrich your data further by sending out portions of it to Facebook, portions of it to Google, right? Enrich your data further as long as you own the email and phone number. So when you own your customer data, you own the relationship. So you reduce your reliance on third-party apps. Own the data, right? Send out the pieces to the apps you need, not the other way around. That's how you. That's why this solution works really well with email and SMS. Solution number six, right? As we talked about before, data-driven customer centrism allows you to build better customer relationships, right? When you become less of a dinosaur with your data and start focusing on getting the right data you need to build better customer relationships, that will lead to more orders, right? In the past, your business used to think of e-commerce as like, it's just a transactional relationship, right? They bought an item, you ship them the item, you're done. No. Using the data they're sharing with you, using that customer-centric mindset you need to pivot to, you start building better relationships, right? You own their customer data and you're now tasked with using it wisely. So customer centrism starts with insights. And when you have the insights from their email and SMS channel, from their purchase data, from their loyalty data, from their browse data, right? From their predictive data, even using AI, you can actually become more customer-centric. And customer centrism is the definition of digitally native. Digitally native and customer centrism are synonymous. You've got to invest in your customer-centric program. And the best way to do that is email and SMS. It's the most customer intimate channel, which means it's more personal. So you could build better customer relationships that reduce churn and enhance loyalty by becoming customer centric and data driven. And the best way, cheapest way even, to get that data is email and SMS. Solution number seven, the final solution we talked about before, we're combating the war chest of the VC-backed creator brands. They have unlimited funds. We invest our funds in retention. Why does it work better? Because it grows customer lifetime value. It costs 600% more to try and acquire a new customer than it does to retain a customer. So your dollars are being used much more wisely. You have home court advantage here, right? It's your list. So you have first pass at loyalty on top of it. And if you excel in loyalty, those big brands with the war chest will never take your customers away. They just won't be able to because you've invested in loyalty. You invest in that better relationship, customer centrism, personalization, right? Multi-channel experiences, brand story. You've invested in all that. So as much as they spend on acquisition, your customers will never leave you because you've invested in all those areas. And Pareto principle, right? 80% of your revenues come from just 20% of your customers. You need to focus on those, turning those one-time customers into repeat customers because that will drive majority of your revenue, right? That's how you invest in it. And if you invest into that small little 20%, you will see majority of your revenue, right? Keep investing in that loyalty. Keep investing in that retention. You'll be more profitable on top of that. Customers will know, like, and trust your brand more due to your story, segmentation, personalization, multi-channel experiences, and just how you create the relationship. And it grows that customer lifetime value. You'll find that they bought once, then they'll buy twice. And then easily from twice, two to three, three to four, four to five, that jump is much, much lower, right? They'll easily go purchase more and more and more once you've closed that gap between one and two. The result is you're investing in potential profits for every customer on list and not just chasing the next unprofitable customer, which those other brands are doing, right? Those war chests, they're trying to chase the next unprofitable customer. You're investing in keeping the customers on your list first, and that's how you keep them loyal to you. So that covers everything we want to talk about customer loyalty and retention. So we've talked about in the first podcast why customers leave. We've talked now on this podcast episode what you could do to prevent it. How do you keep customers coming back to you? And then we also dove into the channels about how to implement it wisely. And it looks like email and SMS is the best way to keep customers loyal to your brand. It's the best way to achieve customer retention and turn those one-time and sometime buyers into lifetime buyers. Let me recap it now for half a second. Email and SMS defeats the seven reasons customers leave. Number one, you could share more of your brand story at will. Number two, you can excel in customer personalization, especially now with AI machine learning. Number three, you can craft multi-channel and omni-channel experiences. Number four, you could build a segmented community of value, not just a conglomerate of value like Prime, a community of value. Number five, you can own direct one-to-one customer communication. that you don't have on any other channel, not Facebook, not Google. Your brand is fully customer-centric and data-driven. You have the one data point that brands need to do everything for their marketing, that one specific data point, the email or the phone number. And your brand focuses on retention and loyalty, investing in the profits of your customer, the lifetime value of your customer, and not just the unprofitable new customer, right? So it defeats the seven reasons. And you, if you invest in it, it will be worth it. In fact, it makes it worth the investment because email and SMS passes everything on our litmus test. It keeps customers loyal to your business. It keeps your business competitive and nimble. It does not sacrifice data. You own the data. You're not leasing it from the social. You're not leasing it from Google or giving it away to Amazon. You own the data. It invests your dollars wisely, Pareto principle, right? That $38 for every $1 spent. And email and SMS is ROI positive and profitable because you're investing in customer loyalty, lifetime value, not just the next unprofitable new customer, right? That's the beauty of email and SMS. So really, if you're listening to this podcast episode, you've learned how to keep customers loyal to your brand and which channels make it worth the investment. That covers the first introductory episodes of our Retention Nation podcast. Like I told you before, we want to focus first on why are customers leaving you? That's the whole basis of retention. First, we dove into why are customers leaving you in the first place. You got to know why. Solve the why first. Then we dove into what do we do to keep them loyal to our brand. We solved that too, right? With seven ways to keep customers loyal to you. And lastly, we finalized how do we implement our customer loyalty strategy so we turn those one-time and sometime buyers into forever buyers, into lifetime buyers. And then we found that email, SMS is the best way of investing in your customer retention and customer loyalty, hands down, right? Other channels you can invest in a little bit, for sure. Go for it. It's great to have different channels to invest in, but email, SMS, best channel for loyalty, hands down, based on the data we're seeing right here. Thank you for joining me on this podcast episode. Hope you really got value out of it. Definitely get a copy of my 330-page Ultimate E-Commerce Email and SMS Playbook right here. Highly recommend you get it. You get the strategy. You get the good foundation behind how to build that customer loyalty engine for yourself, how to keep customers loyal using email and SMS, how the top brands are doing it too. Don't need to demystify it. I actually was the VP of retention at the top brand, so I know exactly how they do it. So you'll skip a step by getting this book. It's totally free. If you want a hard copy, just pay shipping handling. It's like less than $5, less than a Starbucks. So I'll get that out to you and you'll start building a foundation of huge loyalty for your brand. You'll be able to stave off all the reasons for competition, why customers leave you, and you'll actually start building a better relationship with every single subscriber on your list, thereby unlocking the true revenue potential and lifetime revenue potential of every single subscriber on your list. Who doesn't want that? So thank you for joining me in this episode. I'm super excited to get started with our new e-commerce brand interviews that you'll see in the next few series, in the next few episodes. So stay tuned for that. Until the next one, I'm Isaac Hyman. I'll see you on the next podcast episode. Thanks for listening to the Retention Nation podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and join our Retention Nation Facebook group. If you want to put this week's retention strategy into action within minutes, all done for you by our expert email, SMS, and retention team, you can go to highflyerdigital.com/book for a free 15-minute chat with myself and my team. It's time to turn those one-time and sometime buyers on your list into lifetime buyers and unlock the revenue you deserve. Your brand is worth it and your customers will thank you for it. Until next week, I'm Isaac Hyman, wishing you a successful and profitable week.